dresses or her robe, every color except for black, for it was considered inappropriate for their job. Black was an absence of light, and scythes were the opposite, luminous and enlightened. They were acknowledged as the very best of humanity, which is why they were chosen for the job. Some scythe robes were bright, some more muted. They looked like the rich, flowing robes of Renaissance angels, both heavy yet lighter than air. The unique style of scythe's robes, regardless of the fabric and color, made them easy to spot in public, which made them easy to avoid, if avoidance was what a person wanted, just as many were drawn to them. The color of the robe often said a lot about a scythe's personality. This scythe's ivory robe was pleasant, and far enough from true white not to assault the eye with its brightness. But none of this changed the fact of who and what he was. He pulled off his hood to reveal neatly cut gray hair, a mournful face, red-cheeked from the chilly day, and dark eyes that seemed themselves almost to be weapons. Citra stood, not out of respect but out of fear. Shock. She tried not to hyperventilate. She tried not to let her knees buckle beneath her. They were betraying her by wobbling, so she forced fortitude to her legs, tightening her muscles. Whatever the scythe's purpose here, he would not see her crumble. "You may close the door," he said to Citra's mother, who did so, although Citra could see how difficult it was for her. A scythe in the foyer could still turn around if the door was open. The moment that door was closed, he was truly, truly inside one's home. He looked around, spotting Citra immediately. He offered a smile. "Hello, Citra," he said. The fact that he knew her name froze her just as solidly as his appearance had frozen her mother.
"Don't be rude," her mother said, too quickly. "Say hello to our guest." "Good day, Your Honor."
"Hi," said her younger brother, Ben, who had just come to his bedroom door, having heard the deep peal of the scythe's voice. Ben was barely able to squeak out the one-word greeting. He looked to Citra and to their mother, thinking the same thing they were all thinking. "Who has he come for? Will it be me, or will I be left to suffer the loss?"
"I smelled something inviting in the hallway," the scythe said, breathing in the aroma. "Now I see I was right in thinking it came from this apartment."
"Just baked ziti, Your Honor, nothing special."
Until this moment, Citra had never known her mother to be so timid.
"That's good," said the scythe, "because I require nothing special."
Then he sat on the sofa and waited patiently for dinner. Was it too much to believe that the man was here for a meal and nothing more? After all, scythes had to eat somewhere. Customarily, restaurants never charged them for food, but that didn't mean a home-cooked meal was not more desirable. There were rumors of scythes who required their victims to prepare them a meal before being gleaned. Is that what was happening here? Whatever his intentions, he kept them to himself, and they had no choice but to give him whatever he wanted. "Will he spare a life here today if the food is to his taste?" Citra wondered. No surprise that people bent over backwards to please scythes in every possible way. Hope, in the shadow of fear, is the world's most powerful motivator. Citra's mother brought him something to drink at his request, and now labored to make sure tonight's dinner was the finest she had ever served. Cooking was not her specialty. Usually she would return home from work just in time to throw something quick together for them. Tonight, their lives might just rest on her questionable culinary skills. And their father, would he be home in time? Or would a gleaning in his family take place in his absence? As terrified as Citra was, she did not want to leave the scythe alone with his own thoughts, so she went into the living room with him. Ben, who was clearly as fascinated as she was fearful, sat with her. The man finally introduced himself as Honorable Scythe Faraday.
I did a report on Faraday for school once," Ben said, his voice cracking only once. "You picked a pretty cool scientist to name yourself after."
Scythe Faraday smiled.
"I like to think I chose an appropriate patron historic. Like many scientists, Michael Faraday was underappreciated in his life. Yet our world would not be what it is without him."
I think I have you in my scythe card collection," Ben went on. "I have almost all the mid-American scythes, but you were younger in the picture."
The man seemed perhaps 60, and although his hair